Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Father, we open your word. I ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word, Father, so that we can grow thereby in faith, in knowledge and wisdom. And Father, I now ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to speak your words, Father, through them, to bring to us the things that you would have us to receive this morning and this day. Now I'm asking all of this, Father, in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians. We're just being able to finish up the chapter 15. We didn't get all the way through 15. So let's see, you know, we stopped actually at the verse 34, and he's getting ready to lead us into some things to take us into a spiritual body. There in 34, it says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That was 34, and that's where we stopped yesterday. Now we're picking up here with 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? How are they raised up? You see, Paul is dealing here, as we found out coming this far, Paul is dealing with people that don't believe in the rapture, they don't believe in the resurrection. Really, they don't believe in anything because they are rejecting God and all of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Here at 36, Paul says, thou fool, thou which thou soul is not quickened, except die. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body, just as he has with you and I. Each one of us was born with the body that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to have at the time. He knew the reason for it. We didn't, and may never really know, until we meet him again. Now, but what are we doing with it? How are we caring for it? Or are we caring for it at all, like a lot of these that we're reading about here, that wants nothing to do with the gospel or with anything about the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, here in 37, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. Now, I just read this. It may change of wheat or of some other grain. Are you going to change the body that God gave you into walking in darkness and sin? Or are you going to choose to walk in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word, keeping his word, so that this body he gave us one day, when it is fulfilled its work, we know it will go back to dirt from which it came. But we have another body waiting for us at that moment, that celestial body. If so be that we be that child of God. Now, 38. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and every seed his own body. He's made us individual. Now, 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. He's letting us know that there's other flesh out there besides us, but it's not all the same. And we know that through living. Now, 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. You see, that last Adam, the expression last Adam was coined by the Apostle Paul as a reference to Christ. The contrast here is not so much between the soul and the spirit as it is between living and life-giving. The principle of life is common with all men. The second Adam offers infinite more than that. Now, we know that the first Adam made his mistakes and eat of that tree that he was supposed to not have eaten of and brought sin into being. This second Adam, as he put it here, the Lord Jesus Christ, did nothing wrong. 33 and a half years here on this earth and committed no sin. And he was living to be an example for you and I, letting us know that we can live this life without sin in it and make heaven our home. Because there is no sin, it doesn't matter how large or how small, that's going to enter into the kingdom of Almighty God. And the Word tells us this. Now, here in 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. We know Adam was made from the earth. God formed him. God put life in him and done with him what he wanted done. Now, Forty-eight. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You see, we don't live both ways. Not and make heaven our home. Because in living, we can't live with one foot in this world and one foot in heaven. Now, it just does not work that way. It will never work that way. We're told this in the Word of Almighty God. We're going to be getting into a lot of this a lot deeper as we go deeper into the Word of God as we go on through the New Testament. Now, if we look here at 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And we will if we're going to make heaven our home. That is a surety. 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's talking about showing us a mystery there. In a moment, here in 52, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, at that last trump, this is not the last trumpet of Revelation, but it is the last trump of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It is so designated because it signals the end of the present age, the church age, the age in which we are now living. And we know that when he comes for his church, that brings this age to its end. It says two groups are distinguished. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The term dead refers to those who have died in Christ. The term we refers to those who are still living at the time of the rapture. You see, those that are dead will raise first. Those that have died with Christ will raise first. And then those that are living in that day and time will be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, you'll put off this body and put on that heavenly body, that celestial body. You've changed your home. That has all happened at that moment. Think about that. What a glorious day that will be. As the scripture says, what a glorious day that will be when my Savior I shall see. Oh, praise his holy name. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise that name of Jesus. Now, Fifty-three. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory has truly come about. And those that have made it to be a part of God's family will always be there with him, serving and working and walking with him. What a glorious time for mankind. Just think about that. Because those that have not made it are going to wind up in that lake of fire that burns forever. And as the scripture tells us, the worm never dies. You see, there you're no more than a worm, and you can't even die. You have to live through pain and that torment. And with the knowledge of knowing that that is what you chose. And let me tell you, you did. You chose it. Because we have been taught through several thousand years about the Lord Jesus Christ. You chose not to believe in him. You chose not to walk according to his will and his way. You chose to stay out of his word. You chose to do the things your own way. Those are things you chose. And you can't say, I was never told. Not especially here in our land. This land was a land that had been well blessed by God. In the founding of this land, of the United States, when they put our government together, they did so on the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as this country began to grow and we got to the point of needing schools, the first school book used was the Holy Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ was being taught even in our schools. I can tell you in my lifetime, in my first several years in school, every morning when we got to school, the way school started was by the reading of the Word of God. And we had all been given a verse to learn, and we would have to stand and recite that verse. And then man sit back and let one woman that didn't even have a child in school take prayer and the Lord Jesus Christ out of our school. And look what has happened to our churches since then and to our land. Because he's been taken out of a lot of places that he was in, that he's not in anymore. And a lot of those places are what we call churches. And they're teaching things that are contrary to the Word of Almighty God. Pray for them, because they really need help. Pray that they will see their mistake and how bad it is and was, and that they will begin to understand that they need to bring that church to repentance and repent of the sin that they brought upon it and turn it around and get it back into the truth of God's word. That's the only way we will ever be able to save our land and our country. And we're going to lose it, and we're going to lose it very shortly if we don't get it done. Our churches all need to come together in unity and in the strength of the word, the truth of God's word, and stand firm against all evil. Think about these things. All right, now, we ended there with verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, because if you are a child of God, it doesn't have any victory, because we are the victors. Because we have moved in to everlasting life, if so be that we are that born again child of the living God. Now, 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we get that victory? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. 58. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast. Unmovable. We've got to stand fast, and we've got to be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Things we do are to be for the Lord. And whatever work we are doing, even for someone else, is to be done as if we were doing it unto the Lord our God. And we are to be happy about it, and not doing it with regret, but with the joy and the love of Almighty God, for we are helping someone else. Pardon me. Sinus. Now, we know we get that victory through Lord Jesus. And here we come to the last verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are you? Always abounding in the work of the Lord? Or are you still doing things your way? in the ways that others of this world want it done, and listening to the wrong groups. And that is easy done today. So I ask of you, I beg of you, spend time in prayer with the Lord Jesus and time in His Word, in the study of His Word. And join with me in these studies and grow in knowledge and in truth, because I'm not going to teach you something that is not the truth of God's Word. No. And I don't walk around no subject, and I don't walk around no one. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know that our work of the Lord is not done in vain. And it is done to help others to find the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow those that have found Him but are still being served to me and being served guilt instead of me, and still weak, we can help along the way. And that's why we are here. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I give praise, honor, and glory unto all. And I thank the Holy Spirit for being always with me and being there when needed, and being there to guide me, to keep me, Father, out of the ways of this world. Because it was a time I didn't have it. Father, I didn't have this problem. And I was not doing what I was supposed to be. Now, Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for them to have peace. But even more than that, I pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back in multiple ways and has fallen so far into the pit, Father, the pit of evil. It's almost overflowing again. And Father, I pray that all that are yours that are still with us today will join together in unity and remove from office, our high offices, of those in our government and those that are sitting in judge offices that has brought this evil upon the people, that they be removed from office, Father, and replaced by those that serve you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, that loves your church, loves your people, and loves this land, and will work to bring this land to repentance and to put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, they have brought some horrible evil into our schools. And those, Father, I pray that those that have brought all of this into our schools, letting and telling our children that boys can be girls and girls can be boys, and they are working with them in all the medical ways, Father. And they are doing this without the knowledge or the approval of the parents. Father, work with us and help us, Father, that these people be removed and taken out of the way, and that things be brought back right, and that those that have been going along with this, the Lord Jesus Christ, back into our schools. Father, this is my prayer this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, Father, keep us through this day. Keep us in health. Bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day.